Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 198 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I'm excited to bring you my interview with Lane Milne from Goldie's Barbecue in Fort Worth, Texas. This is a little bit of a from behind the barbecue front lines because 13 days into being actually opened, they had to shut down or take a step back because of COVID. They're open Friday to Sunday, 11 to 3. That might be 11 till 6 p.m. eventually. This past weekend was the first weekend that they were open for those hours again. And at that time, it was you drive up, place your order, they cut the meats, pack them, put them in the back seat of your car. They're going to be working on the online ordering. That might happen this weekend. It might happen next weekend. Keep checking in. They might even do eventually like some car hop stuff he talked about. This is a story about friends who grew up in Arlington, friends from high school, who went on to work for some of the best barbecue joints in all of Texas and regrouped to open Goldie's Barbecue with amazing talent, amazing knowledge. Lane himself worked at Friedman's with Evan Leroy and Chris McGee. He worked at Mickleweight. Tom Mickleweight. We do dive deep into sausage making in this episode. We got to get on a tangent, and I ask him a lot of questions because I've never physically made sausage. I've eaten it. I love sausage. So he gives us a lot of tips and tricks and things that he's done, things that he's learned from different people. So if you do like sausage or you're interested in making sausage, I think this would be a fantastic episode just for that. He talks all about the journey and all about the friendships and then what it took to get Goldie's open. And now what it's like during this whole time and what they offer and how it's kind of like snows. It's a little bit away. It's a destination. It's not too far away from major cities, but it's a little bit of a trek, which makes it fun. I can't thank him enough for taking the time. Really excited for you to hear this. The Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. They can be checked out at treatyoak.com as well as their location in Dripping Springs. It's also sponsored by AJ's Custom Cookers. That's ajscustomcookers.com. Look at all of his stuff. Place an order. He's running about 12 months right now, but quicker for certain things, longer for other things. Check him out on all the social media at AJ's Custom Cookers. I can be found on my website, kevinsbbqjoints.com. All the podcasts, all the YouTube stuff, additional content. Lots of cool stuff. You should check it out. A lot of cool stuff coming up. It could be found on the social media at Kevin's BBQ Joints. If you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. I'm trying to pump out as many as I can, especially during this time, to give you guys something to do, something to get your mind off things. Stay safe. Enjoy this. Good afternoon.
Yeah, doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Seems like I'm always like starting these like laughing. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty swell. Just been prepping and other than that, just been chilling. Nothing too crazy going on.
Are Mondays busy for you?
They used to be a little bit busier than they are now. I used to get here at 6, load up the order, and then knock out all of, like, the veg prep for the week. But now, you know, it's a little bit more relaxed because we're not doing as much volume-wise. So I just came and kind of just each day we kind of do whatever we have to do. It's not like as critical it gets done on a certain day as much anymore because there's not near as much stuff to do. But
I want to get into like your past and get into what you guys are doing at Goldie's. But do you feel like it, because you guys have all been in the business and did, like, does it feel kind of like a well-oiled machine like this? Do you guys have to like, you don't have to necessarily tell each other what to do. It's just kind of, you just do stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for only being open for 13 days and doing the numbers you're doing at that point, like 13 days actually open inside the restaurant and then doing the numbers we were doing, I think it was running pretty smooth for only having 5 people and like each weekend was getting better and better. But if we could have been open longer and really, really dialed stuff in, I think that would have been pretty cool. But it was running really well.
What a shame though. Like what a shame that this happened in between. Because then I mentioned to people, there were people that like had quit their jobs to like start pop-ups and stuff. And those people may be able to kind of still do pop-ups, but you guys had been, the anticipation was growing and growing. And
yeah.
When you had to shut down, what did that feel like?
Well, we didn't have to shut down. We just kind of shut down to just kind of assess the situation.
Yeah.
And then read up on it and kind of make the best judgment call. So we shut down for a couple of weeks. Maybe like 3 weeks and then just kind of learn more about it because we didn't really have a lot of time to really research about Corona. Like I remember reading about it like and like really early January, but time to catch up on everything that was going on and trying to learn how to do things the best way given the situation and kind of see what was going to happen.
You don't seem like a group of guys that would stress out.
Nah, I mean, it is what it is. We already got delayed for a whole year. Sure. Roll with the punches.
Did you grow up in Texas?
Yeah, we all grew up in Arlington and we all went to the same high school.
That I didn't know. Dylan didn't tell me that. Like, I didn't know you guys all went to the same high school.
Yeah, so me and Dylan and Jalen and Johnny all went to elementary school together. Me and Jalen and Johnny had all been friends since like second or third grade. And then I started hanging out we all started hanging out with Dylan, like, sophomore, freshman year.
Okay.
And hanging out with DuPont around that same time, too.
How weird is that, that you guys are all working at a restaurant? Like, that's really cool. Like, I knew you guys were buddies and stuff, but I didn't know it went back that far.
Yeah, it went back pretty far. I used to have, like, a bigger group of friends, but whenever high school ended, everybody kind of went off there in different ways and whatnot.
But the fact that you guys, like, is it... So you guys have cool photos of you guys all, like, as kids and stuff, like...
Yeah, not necessarily cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, like, cool as in, like, looking back cool, but it's a... Yeah, you're like, wow, I can't believe what I was wearing or my hair.
Yeah.
It is weird, too. Like, that's... It'll trip me out until the day I die that, like, when you look back on how you looked... or what you wore, like, and everyone's wearing the same clothes, and you're like, wait a second, that all worked, but it seems like this is, like, we're kind of, like, a relaxed era where people, and they kind of, like, pull stuff in, and no one cares, like, what colors go with what color, it doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. Like, so, what was your path? Because I know that you worked at Friedman's. Did you go to culinary school?
No, so, we moved, Dylan, Jane, and I, and another buddy moved down to Austin. We were, like, 18, went to Texas State. And I remember one time Dylan and I skipped class to go to Franklin because we had heard about Franklin forever. I didn't know what it was.
That's funny.
For a few couple times we had driven by, tried to go there, and it was closed. And I'd be like, oh, that's weird. Why is it closed? And then finally we learned more about it. We skipped class, and we waited in line. I think we got there at like 10:30 on a Tuesday. We're out in the parking lot, and it was hot and sunny in Austin. So I'm out there getting sunburned. And I'm like, Dylan, you want to just leave, man? Like, there's no way it's worth it. But then I was like, nah, man, we've already been waiting like 20 minutes. Might as well wait. So I think we finally ate at like 1:30. And we had no idea what we were doing at the time. Like, we just ordered a brisket. And then we sat down to eat. And we were like, oh, man, this is really, really good. So that kind of started that. And I think that summer, it was Nupon's birthday. So we went out to Lockhart to go. Nupon and Dylan went skydiving. So on the way there, we drove through Lockhart on the way to Luling, I guess. And so we stopped at the original Black's Barbecue and got some food there. And then I guess after that, it started every Friday, Johnny and I would drive out to a barbecue spot and go try it. Dylan and I would always go to La Barbecue back in the old days. We'd always go to Micklewaite at the trailer. And then eventually Dylan got a job at Terry Black's right when it first opened. He worked there for a while, and then we'd go and cook with Mark, like, on our days off from whatever, working or not at school.
Wait, so you would go to cook, like, when you weren't working there? You just kind of, like, cook to learn, huh?
No, we'd go, like, there and hang out with Mark, and then Mark would show us some stuff about cooking brisket. So we weren't, like, going there and Dylan was cooking there, but I was...
But you were hanging out.
Yeah, I was going there to hang out with Dylan.
No, that's cool, though. That's interesting. Yeah. Like, that kind of works out. That's, like, a neat thing that you got, that you're able to do.
It was especially cool back then when it was all so new, too. So yeah, Dylan worked there for a while, and eventually he got a job at La Barbecue, worked there for a while, and got the job as pitmaster. So then I was like, oh, maybe I should start working at a barbecue restaurant, because I've been thinking about it for a while. So I applied at Nicolay, and Tom never reached back out to me. So then I applied at Friedman's.
Yeah, he's not the easiest person to get a hold of.
No, he's a pretty busy guy.
Yeah.
And then I got the job at Friedman's, and I worked there for however long, until Evan and Chris left. And I left that job, and then I finally got a job at Nicolay.
Okay.
And work there until we moved down here.
You're another person that, because I've been in my mind as I've done these interviews, I've tried to connect people to Evan, because a lot of people were connected to Evan. And I think that's, it's almost like a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It's like the 6 degrees of Evan Leroy. Like, it seems like a lot of people, like, so what did you learn from him?
So I first started, I remember, I think it was either like a Tuesday or a Thursday. I'd reached out to Friedman trying to get a job. Got a hold of Evan, and he told me to come in for a stage. I remember being really nervous going in because I didn't know, like, at the time, Evan seemed, like, super chefy. Not chefy, like, Evan seemed like a legit kitchen.
Yeah.
And I'd only worked at Eastside King before then, so going in, I was kind of nervous. And I came in, me and Evan ran service for a while, and then I went and seasoned briskets with Chris McGee. And I think that was my first day.
I was going to say, I think it was Chris McGee, because I thought it was Chris McGee that was there, because he's over at Styles, right? Or at The Switch, right? Yeah.
The Switch, yeah. And then I don't remember, I guess maybe I sat down at the bar with Evan after that shift, and then he offered me a job, and I started working there and just going to school.
Are there certain things that you do now that were from those days back with Evan? Like, are there certain skills, or just you've learned a lot of stuff, because you also worked with Tom, so.
No, Evan likes to focus on everything, which I think is cool, instead of just focusing, like, on brisket or ribs.
Yeah.
Probably besides Tom, he's one of the first people to start making his own pickles and making his own bread. Maybe like how Friedman's used to cook the ribs. I feel like that influenced me a lot. Just like the wrap ribs. Those are really good. And then I guess I learned how to case sausage at Friedman's too. Yeah.
At Friedman's. But did you take that over to Micklewhite?
Yeah, so I feel like I got good at casing sausage at Friedman's because we would try and case it super tight. And then at Micklewhite, I learned more like how to spice the sausage and make sure it's seasoned well. But it was cool seeing, like, I guess those two different styles because Micklewhite's more of like a pork sausage, whereas Friedman's was a beef and pork mix. Two completely different styles, and we didn't put any liquid in our sausage at Micklewhite. It was all in the Friedman's, we'd put ice in our sausage.
So yeah, so I don't know a lot about, I haven't personally made sausage before, but they, yeah. So you're saying with Friedman's, they put ice in it?
Yeah, so it would keep it really cold as you ground it, and then it's basically like adding a liquid component. So roughly like, I think it's like 2 cups for every 20 pounds of liquid on a like a pork-based sausage. Other than Evan, I don't know anybody else that really grinds the ice in there, but normally people just like measure it out. But we had grind it at Friedman's, mix it in, and it keeps the mix super cold.
Because I know it's important to keep it cold, but I just, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Do you guys do that there, or is that a secret?
We have two big freezers, so we'll spread out the batch of sausage onto sheet trays and put it in the freezer. And then we use stock as our liquid component. So I'll cook that the day before, cool it down, skim the fat off, measure that out, and then blend it with milk powder. And then we'll grind the sausage that's already been seasoned, and then it's been in the freezer until it's like, I want to say it's like, it's almost frozen in the middle, but it's super cold.
Yeah.
Grind that up, mix it until we can't mix it anymore by hand, and then we add the liquid and milk powder in until it's really sticky.
How important is making your own sausage to you?
I think making sausage is kind of my favorite thing to do in the barbecue business besides like cooking ribs. Yeah. I think you have to make your own sausage at this point. Like you're just wasting money unless you're not trimming your briskets.
Yeah, if you're not trimming yourself, which would be kind of an odd thing these days too. And I think that isn't it, like, I wonder how many people expect it these days for you to.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like if you go to like a more modern barbecue joint, they're pretty much gonna have house-made sausage at this point.
And I think it also too, it's like not to cure boredom, but it's like it keeps things interesting. Like it's always good to keep yourself creatively interested,
for sure.
Because I think that's not like how in life, like certain people, I guess maybe don't, they just want to smoke weed and just play video games, which is totally fine.
Try and do a sausage special every weekend to keep us like making something different, pushing ourselves to try something new. That way we aren't getting too stagnant. We're always trying new stuff out.
For something like that, would you guys keep, do you keep notes for that stuff? Or do you just kind of like, it's just, you guys all know enough these days that you just, this is the one, blah, 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 we'll do again. Or
Yeah, there's like a handful of recipes like I already know are going to be good that we can do. And then there's always like ideas, like I'll text Jalen that he used to work at Bangers. So I'll be like, or Dylan, and then everyone else too. But I'll text everyone and be like, hey, what do you think of this? And then kind of throw out ideas here and there and be like, oh, we should throw this in there or we should take some of this out or something. But for the most part, like as long as you have the salt right, the meat ratio right, and enough liquid, you can't really, really mess it up as long as you don't put too much or something in there.
When you see a sausage that's really loose, what's causing that?
That could be how they cooked it, or if they didn't mix it enough, or if it was under seasoned, it's not going to get sticky enough.
Okay.
So I feel like you have to have a certain amount of salt in the sausage for it to come out right. And for beef sausages, we like to put more liquid in there because it can hold it, whereas like if we were making a pork sausage, we wouldn't put quite as much liquid if we had to put any in there at all.
I didn't think that this was going to go down the road of to completely like get that deep in the sausage, but for people listening to this and watching this, I think they'd be interested because that's something that not like if you don't own your own barbecue place or don't run a pop-up or whatever, you probably aren't making your own sausage that much.
For sure.
So that would be if they've heard four things in here that help them, you know, that'd be rad. That'd be pretty cool. So then so along the way saying like, hey, you know, we should do something someday. Like, is that like, was that always in the back of your mind?
Johnny and I worked at East Side King together and then we both left. I got the job at Friedman's and I think Johnny started working at La Barbecue cutting. And then every Monday, that's the day all three of us had off. So we'd go to the house and we'd cook on my dad's old pit, which wasn't very good. Then just like come up with ideas and stuff to try out and figuring out our own style and whatnot. It didn't seem really real until Dylan left Truth and then we had an idea to start doing caterings and teaching classes and then we saved up all the money for the place ourselves.
So like as a digression, I had talked to Kyle, I interviewed him and I'm going to be posting his interview soon. And he said he went to one of your classes. I think it was in 2018 maybe, was it? Possibly,
yeah.
And how much he learned from you guys. And I've heard that a lot of people have taken a lot out of that. So that's when you guys did those classes.
We would teach them at our house. And usually somebody, I think they'd get here at like 9. And then basically they'd just hang out the whole day cooking barbecue. And we'd taste stuff together. It was fun. It was cool times. And just talk about barbecue.
How many classes did you guys get to do? Because you're not doing them now, right now, right? Because of the
COVID? We haven't, no, we're not doing them right now with the Corona stuff. I think we probably did 40 to 50 classes, I bet. Yeah. Of people, like, as far away as England or Brazil. Okay. I think that was the farthest was England. Yeah.
Kyle is from Portland. Kyle, Holy Trinity Barbecue, I'll say. But, yeah. But that was, so people from Brazil? That's awesome.
I think there was two people from Brazil that took classes. And then there's another guy and his wife came from England. And that was a little bit before we opened the restaurant. And I think that's the farthest. We've had Portland and we've had New Jersey, so we've had opposite ends.
That's rad. That's really cool. And that's a fun thing. Are you guys going to do that again once things...
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure how we'd set it up right now. Maybe we're trying to figure that out soon. But hopefully we can get that going again.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It's important.
We'll probably change the classes up a little bit since we could just tag it in with the restaurant instead of taking a day off work to cook a brisket at home. So it'd probably be a little bit different of a setup.
Yeah.
But it'd probably be a better class.
You could better, yeah, and it'd probably be more like restaurant skills that people can get to. You guys also make your own bread, so that would be kind of a cool thing too.
Yeah, teach them everything from the beginning to end on everything. Maybe just have them come out for a whole week and just prep with us. That would be a bad idea.
Yeah, you get like free work and they pay and then they learn it. They learn a lot too. Like it's like a win. All of, and you guys could all be 6 feet apart.
Yeah, with masks.
with masks. So when you guys were thinking, because you guys grew up in Arlington, were you thinking of Fort Worth as a place, or was it because places were starting to pop up and it seemed a little bit more of a possibility? Or
we looked at Dallas. It probably would have been too expensive. We looked in downtown Arlington, but the leases there were a percentage of sales, and we didn't really want that.
Yeah.
So then we found this place, and it had like a really cool old school vibe to it, which we like. We didn't have as much overhead being out somewhere out here, and it's kind of like, I think it's cool going out on a trek to go find a barbecue restaurant.
Cool. Yeah,
like going to Snow's. Yeah, so we like that aspect too, and it's really open. And this building kind of actually like has a Snow's vibe to it, to me at least.
Really?
Like a little red building out in the middle of nowhere.
That's cool. And you're inside right now. Are you inside the dining room?
Yes, sir.
How much seating is inside, and how much other tables outside too?
Yeah, so we have three picnic tables outside currently, and then we have three picnic tables that can seat six to eight, and then we have eight tables inside that seat six. I think on our
The occupancy,
yeah, the occupancy, whatever they gave us, I think it says we can have a maximum of like 70 seats or something like that.
So how long, I'm trying to think of how long did it take for you guys to finally open, and when did you guys finally open? Was it January?
Yeah, I think it was either January or February. I think it was February.
You might be right. I think it was February.
Yeah, I think it was February. We're supposed to be open in like May or June, which we would have been, and then the septic stuff happened. And forever. And that was literally the only thing holding us up. And we finally got it. Once that got done, literally like we had our health inspection. The fire marshal came out, and then we were good to go. So it happened really fast once we got that done.
And then this happened.
Yeah, and then this happened.
But it's like you guys have been able to kind of evolve. So as of, because I think there's some, like this weekend it's changing a little bit, right? But it's, what are your guys' hours, or how are you guys figuring, what's happening right now?
Yeah, so we're going to start doing curbside service. We were doing one day a week serving, but I think just going ahead and starting to just do curbside service probably from now, Friday through Sunday, like 11 to 3, maybe 11 to 6. And then doing that for a while until we feel comfortable and safe opening back up.
Order online?
Yeah, well, we're not going to do the pre-orders this weekend just to kind of see how it goes. And then starting next weekend, we'll probably pop on online orders and let people start pre-ordering and stuff. But for this weekend, we're just going to do drive-up only and see how it works out.
So the drive-up and give an order? Kind of like a...
Yeah, so we'll drive-up, we'll go out there and take their order, slice it up and run it out to them and put it in their back seat.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's cool. It's like a drive. It's like a makeshift drive-through setup. So what meats and what sides and desserts and such will you have right now? And then what do you? Because this might take me a week and a half to edit. So
yeah.
What's are you gonna have cryovac stuff too, or what's the whole?
We'll probably do like vacuum sealed ribs and turkeys and briskets. But other than that, we probably won't. Maybe sausages too. Yeah, probably. And then on the menu, it'll be brisket, ribs, turkey, sausage. We'll do our house sausage, which is beef and a lot of garlic and a lot of pepper. And then a jalapeno cheese sausage, which is beef and pork, jalapenos and cheese. And then we'll probably do either like a dill and caraway sausage. That'll be mostly pork with like cream and eggs. Or maybe do like a roasted mushroom and caramelized shallot sausage. or maybe a boudin or something.
Oh man, have you made that one before?
No, we'll probably just wing it, but it'll be pretty close where we want it. We'll make a little tiny batch, make sure it comes out good before we make a big batch
of
it.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Do you guys have dessert too?
So this week we do banana pudding every weekend. We'll probably do bread pudding this weekend too, which is pretty good. It has bourbon in it. It's kind of sweet, but it's tasty. We use our leftover white bread, so.
So people can't come in their car and then eat at those benches right now, right? That's not something.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that in a couple of weeks from now. Maybe like have like one of us goes out there, takes their order, and then goes inside and cuts it while they sit on the benches. We'll see. We'll have to get like umbrellas because it's getting hot out in Texas right now.
Yeah, no, and it'll get hotter.
We've thought about maybe doing like a drive-in like burger place, but not burgers, but like going out there and like bring them their tray of food and letting them eat in their car, and then we take it back and throw it away and clean it up and whatever. But I don't know, we'll see how it goes, and then we'll go from there.
Like, you guys will be on roller skates and stuff and come out?
Yeah, we'll get down on roller skates.
No, but that's really that's a smart idea too. I think, like, I guess, and I've talked to other people too, like, barbecue lends itself to being creative and trying to figure out ways, and people will do whatever you say to eat barbecue. Like, they'll, if you said eat in your car, they'll be like, cool, that's what we'll do. Or eat in your trunk, they'll eat in your trunk. They'll do whatever they have to do to enjoy it, especially if they're fans. And you guys have had a great turnout so far.
Yeah, and we have a really big parking lot too, so we can park like 30 to 40 cars out there too, so it's pretty cool.
And is it nice to have a good sized kitchen?
Yeah, we have a pretty solid sized kitchen, I'd say. Like, I'm used to working in like a food truck or working at Friedman's, which is a weird kitchen. It was just two tiny rooms like in between the dining room, so it was a weird little setup. So I've never worked in like a giant kitchen before, but this is probably the biggest kitchen I've worked in, I guess.
As things go on, is your goal to be open 4 days a week? Is that what you would like to do?
Yeah, I mean, ideally we could be open every day, but I think like our location kind of dictates our hours right now, so maybe down the road we'll open up. I'd like to be open 4 days a week for barbecue, and then from there maybe open up and do some other stuff like lattes or something.
Oh yeah.
But for now, we'll probably just run the barbecue stuff and see how that goes.
Do you get traffic? Like, are you by a highway that you get cross traffic? Or?
Yeah, so we're not like too far from the highway, or like probably like 5 minutes off of it. So, but we're on a pretty busy road. There's people driving up all the time, and it used to be a barbecue restaurant for the longest time. So.
And what was it called again?
It was called Kinnis Barbecue. Kinnis. So I think it opened in like the 70s, and then it closed like in 2010 when I can't remember his first name, but his last name's Kenneth, and then he died. He was a brick mason, and he helped build that pit outside too.
Oh, that's rad.
Pretty interesting guy. Yeah,
that's really cool. How far away are you from, like, what's the next big city over? Like, so if people in their minds want to do a road trip to where you are, what are you close to?
So we're right outside Arlington, and then we're in Fort Worth city limits, so we're probably like 15 to 20 minutes from downtown Fort Worth, and we're probably 5 minutes from the edge of Arlington, and probably like 15 to 20 minutes from downtown Arlington. So we're not too far from anything. We're right by Mansfield and Burleson.
Oh, that's super close, and especially now. Like, is traffic less now for you guys? Because it is less here, but I don't know if it's changed.
It was, and then it just now started getting pretty busy again. Like, I stayed in my house for like 2 weeks, and when I finally got out, I was like, man, there's a lot of people driving around still. I didn't expect it. I thought more people were going to be chilling at home.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Like, at the beginning, I thought at first it was like dead, and then I thought for sure people wouldn't be out because I'd go run errands, and there'd be like more cars than I imagined. But now it's like back to kind of slow again. Like, it's, I think people are just kind of confused here. They don't know what to do. And you guys have, like, you guys are, a lot of places are open, about 25% and stuff, right?
Yeah, we're not doing open dining room right now. We'll probably wait a little bit before we decide to do it. Yeah.
You kind of see how things go and see, like, if,
for sure.
And if things work out like this way and it works, makes sense for people, like, you know, you do this until you have to do it, and then that's cool. So you enjoying yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's been easier in a good way and a bad way, so like, we have more time to hang out and not be stressed out, but we also you know, we weren't open as many days, so it's also kind of boring at the same time, because I kind of like working.
Yeah.
You know, we're just doing what we got to do.
Did you envision, like, having nights and stuff, like dinner stuff eventually?
Not with barbecue, at least. Maybe, like...
Yeah, I mean, like prime rib nights or steak nights or something like that. Like, do you guys have a property where people can hang out? Is that something that would even be... Or do you even
I don't know how busy it would be out here at nighttime. Maybe, probably not anytime soon, but maybe down the road one day.
You could have a second, like a steakhouse next door that...
Yeah, there we go.
Or like a Benihana kind of. Do something so weird that people are like, what the hell? Like, why am I trying? Well, that's cool. That's really cool. So what else, like, what else could people know about what you guys are doing? Like, could people call? Like, is that something that, are you guys getting a lot of calls nowadays?
Yeah, we get a decent amount of calls, people ordering, and we get a lot of people pulling up that didn't know that they had to pre-order or whatever, so we'll just tell them to go check out the website or next time. But we're just going to start doing the curbside service, and then we'll probably tack on phone calls, tack on pre-orders back on, maybe start trying to work on something outside or something. I'm not sure. Yeah. We'll just kind of see how it goes and go from there.
So it'll be like 11 to 3, Friday, Saturday, yeah. Sunday, right now.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. That's cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time, and thanks for sharing. Yeah. I can't wait to visit you guys once this whole fog cleared. But it'll be nice. But cool. Well, enjoy your day. Say hi to the guys.
Yeah.
And I'll text you when this is up.
Awesome. Have a good one, man. Stay safe.
Take it easy. Have a good night.